I read this, or at least I made reference to it Sunday night, because I was talking about opportunity and opposition, and made reference to this account in Philippians chapter 1, but I want to read this. It was on my mind, and it goes right with what's being said in these testimonies. Philippians 1 and verse 13. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You can read on in chapter 1 when you want to. But I was reading about this, and I read this little account, this little story. It's a true account of Amy Carmichael, who came back from the mission field. She, at that time, was working in Japan. She came back because she was so exhausted, and she just had to have a break. So she went to England, and it just so happened, of course, we know that in the lives of Christians, there's no such thing as a coincidence. But it happened that she was staying in a guest house, Andrew Murray had come to England to prepare for some meetings there, and they were both staying. Can you imagine this? Amy Carmichael and Andrew Murray, both in the same guest house, but the Lord put them there together. She was physically exhausted, but during the time that they were there in that circumstance, Andrew Murray, he got word of a crisis in his life, in his family, in his life, and it was so severe that Amy Carmichael said she wanted to observe, because she had known of him and heard of him, and she said my mother had his devotional books, and he was so revered among believers and in the church. And so she said, I wanted to see. I knew of the crisis, and I wanted to see how that he responded to the situation. And this is what she said. She said, at first he was thoughtful and quiet, and then prayerful. She said, and then he wrote four things. He wrote down these four things. And I don't know if she later saw them or how she came to know what he wrote. But here's what he said about his crisis after he was thoughtful, quiet, and prayerful. Number one, he said, I'm here by God's appointment. I'm here in this trouble by God's appointment. He said, his wording was, I am in this straight place by God's appointment. This trouble that I'm in. And admitted the fact, he knew that because we're a child of God, that no matter what we experience, even if we find ourselves in the middle of trouble and crisis, that we are his child. And he said, I'm in this straight place by God's appointment. Then number two, he said, I know I'm in his keeping. I know he's going to take care of me. And he described it this way. He said, I'm like a dependent child upon his father. And I know he's going to take care of me. So he said, I know that I'm here in this strait by God's appointment. I know I'm in his keeping. His grace is going to be sufficient for me in this situation. I'm like a child dependent upon my father. Number three, he said, I'm under his training. That he can make a trial a blessing. That's what we've been hearing about here tonight in the testimonies. How he makes the worst of circumstances and he turns them into a blessing. And that's what Andrew Murray said. His third point was, I'm under his training, and so he can make this trial a blessing. And then number four, he said, it's in his own good time. He brought me into this, and in his time, he will lead me out. Amen. What a great statement of faith in God in the middle of trouble. And that's the same expression that the Apostle Paul, when he gave this account to the Philippian Christians of his imprisonment here in chapter 1, the same exact situation. He said, I want you to know, he was concerned about the Philippian Christians. He wanted them to understand, yes, I'm in imprisonment, but I want you to know that I'm here by God's appointment. God's put me here. God's arranged it. He's worked it all out. I want you to understand that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all place, in all the palace, and in all other places. There's two ways that it happened. One, the commentators all say that he'd already been brought before and had to give a defense of himself in the palace before the emperor. He'd already had to give a defense, and so with that great court that he, his imprisonment, his bonds, had brought him into a place where he was able to testify to all of the palace there, all that were there. And then he said, in all other places. And I was reading about the fact that he was under house arrest. And so that consisted of him being, you know, not really free. He wasn't necessarily in a dungeon or a prison cell, but he was under house arrest, and he was always chained to a soldier. He was always chained, and these soldiers were Praetorian soldiers. They were Roman guard. They say that there were up to close to 10,000 of them. They were well-trained for a specific task, and they were assigned to the palace. And so in the years that he is under this house arrest, and he is always chained to a guard, and during that time, every 4 hours, a different soldier would be chained to him. And so he wasn't really chained to the soldier. The soldier was chained to him. That's the reality of it. And that's how that the gospel was furthered, even in the palace when he gave his defense. And that every 4 hours, six times a day, potentially, a different soldier over the span of time, there could have been hundreds, maybe even thousands of different soldiers that were chained to this apostle, and every one of them heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he said, what's happened here is it seems like a bad thing. It seems like a crisis, it seems like the end of my apostolic ministry. Not so. Just a new plan, just a new way that God's going to get the gospel into this place that it could never be brought to if it were not for this circumstance. Amen. Now, do you believe that God cares for you and me as his children? And right now, where you are, in your trouble, in your crisis, your circumstance, whatever that it might be. God cares about you. He loves you. You're his child. And God has allowed you to be right where you are at this appointed time. And his grace is sufficient for it. And not only that, but there's a school, there are lessons that he wants us to learn in our trouble, in our crisis times. Amen. There are difficult experiences that every Christian goes through. The Apostle Paul is describing what he went through, but he said,
it really hasn't stopped the plan of God. It is the plan of God. And the Lord has arranged this so that the gospel will be in this palace and everywhere, and a place of influence. Praise God.
I read this little story about this lady. This was through the prison fellowship. Her name was Myrtle Howell. She was a real devoted Christian, but she lived a very hard life. Her family was poor. When she was 10, she quit school and went to work in a steel mill for 10 cents a day. She married at age 17, but when she was a young wife, her husband was killed in an accident. When that happened, she lost her home. This was way back in the early 1900s. She lost her home. She had to go back to work to support her children. Years later, her health is declining. She's forced to move into an old high-rise nursing home. Just a few weeks after she moved into this nursing home, her youngest son died. And at that point, she fell into depression, discouragement. She said, "Lord, what more could I ever do for you? I've lost everything. Now I'm stuck in this dark, dreary room. I don't have anything to live for. Just let me die." But God spoke to her and told her, "I'm not through with you, Myrtle. Write to the prisoners. Write to the prisoners." So she got out and wrote a letter to the Atlanta Penitentiary. And this is what she said. She said, "Dear inmate, I'm a grandmother who loves and cares for you. I'm willing to be your friend. If you'd like to hear from me, write me. I'll answer every letter you write. A Christian friend. Grandmother Howell." The letter was given to the prison chaplain. He gave her the names of 8 prisoners that she could write to. Prison fellowship gave her more names. Soon she was corresponding to up to 40 inmates a day. She became a one-woman ministry reaching into the prisons all over America. That's a good story, isn't it? Amen. We were talking last night about Sister Velva Belt, who's been in the ministry with her husband many, many years. Of course, Brother Belt died some years ago. But Sister Belt is almost completely blind. She has some, just a little peripheral vision. But she has determined to be used of the Lord. And so they have prepared for her some kind of a directory, notebook directory, with phone numbers, and they're in large print so that she can see them. And so she spends a good part of her day, because she's a person of prayer, real person, walks with God. And she calls people, and she prays with people, and she encourages people, and she spends her day pouring out people. Isn't it amazing? Amen. The things that have happened in your trouble, your crisis, your situation, just like Andrew Murray said, "I'm here by God's appointment. I'm in his keeping. I'm under his training. And he's in control of my times." Praise God. Hallelujah. All the things. I tell you, I've been up against things before when I thought, "Lord, this has got to be the devil. This is the enemy of my soul who's trying to attack me and destroy me." But in reality, when we allow God by his grace to teach us in this school, for us to learn that God is with us and God is instructing us and teaching us and helping us, and he can take our worst trial into our greatest blessing. He can do that. Amen? He can do that. We've heard the testimonies of it here tonight. Trouble, trials, and all of these circumstances where we are, there's such a devastation in our lives. But the Lord is faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you were able to cause the Apostle Paul, Lord, to understand that your grace was sufficient in his circumstance. And Lord, and to convey that message by the inspiration of the Spirit to us, to know, Lord, that in all circumstances, the gospel can go forth. In all circumstances, Lord, your name can be glorified. And we thank you, Lord,
for your grace that is enough, your grace that is sufficient for us in all needs, in all trouble, in all circumstances, Lord. You are with us. And we thank you for that. Praise your holy name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stand together. Amen. And let's give praise and thanks to the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord. Lord, that you are with us and that you lead us, Lord, exactly to where you want us to be. And we thank you for that. Lord, you're faithful, Lord, to us in all the circumstances of our life, and you know what we are in need of. And Lord, I just pray that you would use each person here tonight, Lord, and that you would just begin to work in us, Lord. And Lord, and turn our trouble, and turn our pain, and turn our circumstance, Lord. Turn it for the glory of God. Turn it, Lord, so that your name would be glorified and that the gospel would go forth. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you are faithful in all situations. And we give you the glory.